You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, the Titusville and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. This show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and I see our producer, Paul, just having a great time today, smiling. That's good. It's nice when people are happy, Paul.
That's a good day.
Each week, my co-host Ellen and I are on the airwaves here in sunny Cocoa, Florida, which I have to say, last year in November, I remember wearing my boots to the studio.
This year,
it's still summer.
We only had one day of boots.
Yeah, I have not been able to hear my wear my boots and my leggings, and I kind of miss that.
And we got some really good winter clothes.
I know,
actually, because we had a lot of events last year.
We did.
And it was cold, so we kept.
Ellen and I bought some
good stuff.
So every week we come to the studio and we speak about things that are going on around Brevard County, Florida. Things that are going around on a state, national, and even the world. And we have quality guests that come in and sit with us or call in, and we speak about issues affecting our friends, our family, and our nation. And today is no different. Today we have in studio my good friend, April Bull, B-U-L-L.
Yes.
Right. And I keep telling her I have four Aprils on my phone. But the show is fun. It's unscripted. It's very educational. Quite informative, and we do understand that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. So whatever we spread on the air, we try to make it truthful and from the heart. And April is here to talk about cystic fibrosis.
Hi.
And that's her on the phone. And we are going to be joined on the phone by Paul and Ellen. You have to help me here. Glorson. G-L-O-E-R-S-E-N.
Glorson.
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 Yeah, okay. Paul and April just said she knows him. He's the executive director of the North Central Chapter for Cystic Fibrosis, and he oversees, he's been with them for 8 years and oversees the Orlando offices in Jacksonville. And in addition to that, he does fundraising events and outreach for cystic fibrosis. So he will be calling in to join our conversation as we speak with April, who has been diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, and she's been living a healthy life with it and doing whatever she has to do to keep healthy and learn more about the disease and take care of herself. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And then our second segment, we have a friend from the Marine Resource Council, Stephen Sharkey. And Stephen is going to talk a little bit about all the fundraising that he's doing for the Marine Resource Council, namely the one that we like the most, Ellen, and that is margaritas.
That's and BMWs.
BMW.
Yes. And so he's
mangroves.
Right, mangroves. I'll never forget the word mangroves. When we lived on the river, someone cut our mangroves too low, and that was scary. There is, you know, you've got to be careful.
Well, they're protected.
Right.
I'm sure we'll find a little.
We'll talk a little bit. So welcome to our show, Stephen.
Oh, thank you for having me.
He looks great in his MRC hat and T-shirt and everything.
That's right. We'll have to post a lot of pictures of him. We'll get a lot of show downloads.
Yeah, and we've done. Yes, we've done a lot of shows about the Marine Resource Council and all the great things that they're doing for the Indian River Lagoon. And I'm, you know, just like we said that Mr. Paul Glorson is you know, he does fundraising for cystic fibrosis. Stephen actually joined MRC as a volunteer in 2015 when he coordinated and overwhelmed us and himself with such a successful Lagoon Fest. I remember attending that.
Yeah, that was a good time. We had Mr. George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic come out and support our efforts and our work to help improve and protect the water quality of the Indian River Lagoon, and it was a tremendous success.
Right, and you were instrumental in bringing diverse businesses to the lagoon and engaging so many people to partner up with the Indian River Lagoon. So, and then you ended up working with them.
Yeah, the Marine Resources Council, they've been around for over 30 years, and I'm a local, I'm a native, and I became disconnected, you know, busy school, college, education, entrepreneur, business after business, and I didn't know what muck was until 2014 when I jumped off of a friend's boat into a favorite fishing hole as a child, and I was really disturbed. And I had to get involved, and that's
and
what,
stay engaged. And that's what our show today is about, is getting involved and being engaged. And so I made friends with, and so Kev, Stephen's going to be talking about that later in the second half of the show. We're going to talk about the Marine Resource Council and the BMW Margaritas and mangroves, four mangroves. But before we go to that segment, this segment, we're going to talk with April Bull about her battle and her diagnosis of cystic fibrosis. And talking about being engaged, this is why citizens such as myself and my friends and Ellen and all of us, we get involved, because so many people in our county, in the state of Florida, in the United States, they don't know about the people living next door. They don't know about people that they work with. People have issues and they have to cope with it. And I think our role as human beings is to try to help and spread the message. And so we have April here, and we have Mr. Paul on the phone. Thank you for calling in, Mr. Paul.
Oh, no problem. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I was trying to say your name correctly, and then Ellen corrected me. Glorson. You know, I'm from Trinidad. I don't really, this is the first person I've seen with that name. So tell us a little bit about yourself and cystic fibrosis and what you're doing with the foundation, and then we'll have April tell us her story.
Sure. I'm the executive director of the North Central Florida chapter, which is got two offices. There's one in Jacksonville and one in Winter Park. And our territory oversees the Space Coast up to Jacksonville and over to Gainesville. So we have a big territory. We do different fundraising events as well as support programmatic outreach and educational opportunities within that geographic region. But more importantly, we are part of an organization that is the best story in medicine. And while we definitely have, you know, challenges for those with cystic fibrosis, we're also making tremendous progress. The average life expectancy of someone born today with cystic fibrosis is almost 46 years old, which is a huge increase over what it used to be maybe 10 years ago. We also are developing a pipeline of therapies and potentially cures within the next 10 to 15 years.
Well, you know, that's good to hear, because I met April and I like her a lot, and we became friends, and I want to know that she's going to be around with all the medical research that's being done. So April, welcome to the show, and say hi to Paul, and tell
Paul.
Us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. It's a small world, huh?
It is. I'm glad you're doing the show.
Well, thanks. Yeah, me too. I met Theta at the gym. I go there. I try to go every day. Sometimes that doesn't happen. I go there to walk, because walking inside is easier for me to do than, you know, walking outside. I get to, you know, it's safer for me. It's a safer environment for me. I haven't always been a walker, but since I was diagnosed with this, when I was telling Sita on the way here that the doctors in Atlanta, because me and my husband moved to Melbourne this July from Atlanta, Georgia, and the doctors in Georgia at Emory, because I would go to Emory in Georgia, they would have me walk when I was in the hospital. They'd have me walk in the morning. They'd have me walk in the afternoon if there was time, because afternoons are busy with people coming and going, and then in the evening.
Yeah, well,
so
and it's good. The exercise is good for your lungs.
So how did you find out that you had cystic fibrosis? I found out. Well, I've been sick my whole life. Unfortunately, I wasn't diagnosed as a baby or as a child. Actually, I was diagnosed with, they told my parents I had leukemia when I was younger, when I was a little, I think I was 18 months old is what my mom said.
And they put me in Children's Hospital and began the treatment of leukemia. And then a few months later, came back and told my parents, "Now we might have made a mistake. She doesn't have leukemia, but I've been sick my entire life, but never." My mom said that they never tested for cystic fibrosis. So.
Yeah, so you found it as an adult. Right. So, Paul, tell us, how common is cystic fibrosis?
There's about 30,000 cases in the United States. It's kind of an interesting figure, considering almost 10 million Americans are symptomless carriers of the CF gene. And when two of those carriers procreate, there's about a 25% chance that the offspring will have cystic fibrosis. So, you know, you could have, you know, two people that carry the gene that have three perfectly normal children and one with cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, it's all about the...
Or none.
Yes. And so, April, what are some of your symptoms of cystic fibrosis? Like, before you were diagnosed, you were having a lot of recurring infections and things like that.
I was diagnosed with asthma when I was probably 6 years old. And from then on, it was always, the doctors in Ohio would, because we're originally from Ohio, born in Ohio, moved to Atlanta in 2009, but growing up, they said, you've got bronchitis, you've got pneumonia, you've got, you know, the flu. But as I got older, when I was a teenager, and then when I got in my 20s, like, I remember talking to myself in my head, because the teachers, the doctors, my parents, grandparents, all told me that you're playing hooky. It's all in your head. There's nothing wrong with you. The doctors, you know. So I was like, no, why do I feel this way? What's wrong with me? You got to stop it, April. Like,
you're beginning to believe him.
So I talked to myself a lot and told myself it wasn't happening. Like, there was nothing wrong. But I would go to the doctors and, you know, they would give me antibiotics. I had inhalers. I lost my gallbladder when I was 18. It was diseased. And the doctor then told my mom, she said, this isn't the end for her.
Paul, do you hear these stories a lot from families and people that reach out to you for assistance?
Yeah, I mean, CF comes in lots of different flavors. You know, there's some that are, you know, more severe cases. There's some that are more mild. I think the commonality between all of these is that, you know, it's a disease that requires daily adherence, you know, taking your medications, taking your drugs, doing your therapies, and it takes a lot of time. You don't always appear to be sick, as, you know, some people say, you have cystic fibrosis. I couldn't tell. You know, that's a fairly common thing. And I guess I would say it's probably split, you know, 60-40 or so between lung and stomach issues.
Yep.
So for those that have the lung issues, you know, it's almost like breathing through a straw. Is a great way of kind of thinking about it all the time.
April is shaking her head as you say that.
Yeah, and then when you get sick, like, you know, it's even worse because, you know, it's a whole nother ball game when you're sick. It's a visit to the hospital. It's, mm-hmm. you know, you don't know what's growing. They always, you know, you got to do a lot of spitting. I know that.
Yeah.
A lot of spitting. Like, for me now, I've developed mucus plugs. Like, where I get mucus plugs, like, I could be anywhere at any time doing anything, and I'll start coughing, and I get a mucus plug.
Yes.
And it cuts off your airway. Cut, like, completely.
Yes.
And it's terrifying. It's like, that's when you're like, okay, this is it. This is how I'm going to go. You understand, like, you know. It feels like to, like, be smothered.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, this is Sita Begee, and we're talking about cystic fibrosis with Paul Gloerson. I said it correctly. And he, yes, and with my friend April, who's actually, she's living with the disease, and bless your heart, you're doing well. I'm proud of you. And Paul, so with all the strides that are made, tell us a little bit, how is cystic fibrosis treated?
Oh, good question. So, I mean, it varies. You know, there's a lot of different medications that are now available. We call it Toby. It's an inhalant, which is a great drug. It's been on the market for a good 15 years or so. You know, you've got enzymes. Many CF patients will take, you know, a handful of these enzymes that kind of look like, you know, a pill or a jelly bean before each meal. You've got, as April mentioned, you know, hospitalizations are a thing. You know, many patients will go in for tune-ups, which kind of clears out any infections and gets them back on the right path. You know, maybe they're having some trouble gaining weight, which is a common thing with cystic fibrosis patients.
And I heard they eat a lot. They just don't gain weight. But April,
yeah,
doesn't, April doesn't eat a lot.
No, April has a lot of digestive issues because I was diagnosed late in life.
Yes.
I think. And it just probably did, like, my stomach has gone through a lot of trauma, you know, like, I suffer on both ends, but most days I can't go through a day without my stomach
acting up.
Yeah.
The digestive enzymes.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. It makes me a little crazy, so, you know.
So, Mr. Gloerson, what do we have to look forward to with the ongoing research for cystic fibrosis? Are there more strides being made to help people like April? Because April's got it from the lungs as well as the digestive tract.
Right. So, you know, we have a very robust pipeline of medications that we're developing. And we did something very smart about 25 years ago, and we actually invested money into research. And more so than just investing money into research, we owned the patents to those drugs, and we've since been able to turn those over and reinvest more aggressively. So, you know, we went from an $18 million budget on research in the early 2000s to a projected $260 million research budget nationally in 2020. So it's continued to grow. And what's exciting about this is that we have now about 70% of our patients have an effective therapy, whether that be from a drug like Kalydeco or Combi or Symdeko, which is the newest one. And we have a triple combination drug that's in a phase 3 trial, which is the last step before FDA approval, that we are very hopeful that we'll see approved in 2019. When that happens, we'll have about 90% of our population with an effective therapy. That doesn't mean that they're cured, but theoretically it means that you will stabilize, you'll be able to put on weight, and you will not get worse. We're still waiting, and we're still hopeful. We've got great research in the pipeline that within the next 10 to 15 years, you're going to take one pill and be cured of cystic fibrosis.
And I was speaking with someone, I'm a nurse as well, and one of my patients at work was telling me that, you know, someone in their family had cystic fibrosis, and one of the common drawbacks is people never check in their medication to make sure they have enough during the holidays, because a lot of the pharmacies are closed and the doctors are not available. How important it is for people to make sure that they go through their medications and make sure that it's stocked up?
Yeah, adherence is a huge part of treating this disease. And having the medications you need is vitally important. And I would argue that's the case with any disease.
Right.
Make sure you have what you need, especially if you're traveling. You know, a lot of times our CF patients, for instance, when they travel, they've got to bring their vest. They've got to bring maybe oxygen. And, you know, that creates some travel issues. So, you know, make sure you're planning ahead and you're making sure that you're putting
a checklist. You have to have a checklist of your antibiotics, your inhalers, pancreatic enzymes. But April had a little gadget that she showed me in the car. I'm not sure if you tell us about that little one. Something that they gave her in the hospital. It's a mini nebulizer.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I've never seen one of those before.
It's real small. It's like a portable nebulizer. They gave it to me because of the mucus problem. I literally could be anywhere and get them. So they said that I should probably carry it around. Like, you just put the medication in the top part of it, and it closes, and you push a. It's battery operated. Have you seen those, Paul?
I haven't, but it sounds like an awesome little machine, especially considering how mobile it is.
Yeah,
it's light. It's very light. So, Paul, one of the questions that someone sent for me this morning on my Facebook Messenger was, can people with cystic fibrosis get the flu vaccine?
Absolutely, and it's encouraged.
And the pneumovax as well?
I'm not sure on the neurovax. I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't want to dispense that that knowledge. But, I know that at the CF Care Centers, of which there are three locally, based around the hospitals in Orlando, that's something that they are actively pushing to try to get the CF patients to have their vaccine and their flu vaccine.
Right.
Go ahead. Yeah. So, yes, absolutely.
Well, before we close off the segment, I know April had mentioned to us that the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation might be having a very dressed up gala, a nice event that you all are trying to raise funds for cystic fibrosis research, as well as what all the great stuff that you're doing in the Orlando and Jacksonville chapters. You want to tell us a little bit about your upcoming events?
Sure. The easiest way is, of course, go to our website, which is orlando.cff.org. And in the area, we have a number of events. We actually do about 22 events in our chapter. So they range everything from Great Strides Walks, of which we have one, in the Space Coast community. That's going to be on May 18th at Wickham Park. We also have bike rides, 35, 65, 100-mile bike rides. We have stair climbs. We have golf tournaments. We have fishing tournaments. We have all kinds of different things to get involved. So the other thing that I'd like to note is that between now and December 8th, we are finishing up our annual fund campaign, and any dollar donated to our Orlando.cff.org website is matched 100%. So it's an exciting time of year for us as we close out 2018 and look forward to 2019.
Well, we have Stephen Sharkey with us in the studio. He's going to be talking the second segment, and he's very good at fundraising. So I wanted him to know a little bit about cystic fibrosis as well, because sometimes we come across people in our town that are really good about doing events, and we can always help other organizations as well who are doing great things for human beings on our planet. So I just want you to say hi to him.
Hey, Stephen, that's what it's all about. It's about everybody working together for the common good and to make humanity a little bit better each day.
Yeah, I think Stephen's going to introduce himself to you as well, because I think shows like these are why Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is so successful, why we're on the air so much, because we try to do things to spread information about what you're doing, and then Stephen's going to spread information about what he's doing as well.
Yeah, everything that I do is about connectivity, bringing partners together, the community, and that's what it's all about. We're all, basically doing the same thing, trying to make the world that we live in better for everyone. And it is hard in this world with all the technology to connect. So whatever we can do, whatever partnerships and friends and growing our network is how we succeed.
Right. And one thing I want to say, Paul, is the longevity, the lifespan of patients with or residents or however friends with cystic fibrosis, it's lengthened so much that I have hope that you all are going to be doing more. So give us the website one more time and tell us how we can get more involved with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Sure, it's orlando.cff.org. Just like it sounds, CFF, and they're just look at the events. There's multiple ones on the website to get involved with. You can also email me directly if you just want to learn a little bit more about CF. Happy to have a conversation with you. My information is on the front page, email and phone number. And I think my kind of closing thought here is that while we've got so much great things happening in the realm of research and the pipeline, there's still people that are losing their battle, and there are still people that are fighting this battle courageously each and every day. So while we've got great momentum, we want to make sure that we are in it for everybody, and we're focused on everyone's health with CF until we get to the finish line. So
yeah, and I would like to add that that people need to reach out to others who have diseases such as cystic fibrosis, because it's a very lonely life, and it affects their mental health as well. And I know that so many are struggling, and I know April will agree with me that it also affects the families too.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I've seen her at the gym walk in, and I said to myself, I'm going to reach out to her and strike up a conversation, because I notice a lot of people don't take the time anymore. We're so busy in our own lives that we don't take the time to talk to each other and find out what's going on with a person. And it's amazing, once you open your mouth and use your God-given talent to talk to someone, what you could find out. And I, as a nurse, I'd learned about cystic fibrosis, but I had forgotten how it affects people and their lives. So I want to thank you, Paul, and April, for bringing it to the forefront to our show and helping us to understand the disease and what we can do to help.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having it. Thank you, April, for being such a great advocate.
Well, thanks, Paul.
And we appreciate all the great information that you shared, and on our Facebook pages as well as our website, which is cedamediainc.com, we've posted all of the website information and a little bit about what we talked about today. So hopefully people will reach out. Remember, it's not always about the cash. If you can find ways to donate your time, if you can find ways to just go to an event, volunteer, those are all great ways to stay involved with this great program. And we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with the Marine Resources Council right after these break.
Portions of Viewpoint with CETA and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of CETA McGee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply CETA Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of CETA and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul-away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000.
or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Bigi on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I'm here with my wonderful friend, Ellen Little, who keeps me grounded when I could find her. Sometimes I can't.
I'm not that far.
I can't. She just lived in Palm Bay, but I can't find her sometimes. And we had a really robust first half hour with Paul Gluerson. And did I say it right, Ellen?
Yeah.
I think so.
You're great.
And of course, this is what happens on a fun, unscripted show. You know, people call in and we speak about matters that affect us and our friends. And we talked about the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation that he's the executive director of. And in studio, our friend April Bull came in. And before we go to a second segment with the Marine Resource Council, I just wanted to thank April for her bravery and her discipline in taking care of herself, educating herself about cystic fibrosis, and living life to its fullest. So thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Do you have like a 30-second, I wouldn't say a commercial, because it could be a commercial, but do you have like a 30-second words of wisdom that you could give to people out there who have something and they think to themselves, well, I can't do this? What would you say to someone who was newly diagnosed with cystic fibrosis or cancer or leukemia or Parkinson's or whatever it is that affects people, some ailment? What would you say to them, because you're so positive about life?
I would say close your eyes, take a deep breath, and think about the things that matter. Think about the things that matter. Like, for me, I think about my family, and I think about my husband, and I think about, I don't have children, but I think about my dog. My dog is,
he's your child. Yeah.
He is my child. And may realize that it is the quantity of your life that matters, and to get the best quantity, it is to, you know, live for your family or those that you love,
and be disciplined to take your medicine.
Yes,
take your medicine.
And don't give up.
Yeah. Right.
Don't give up. You'd be surprised what your body can do.
That's called the power of positive thinking. I really believe that. But when you think positive, great things happen, and you do. So thanks. All right. And so Ellen and I, boy, we really get some really good guests. Sometimes our guests can be tearjerkers, but this is such a positive story that you can't really cry over it. You have to be positive and happy for April.
Well, and I wasn't aware about Sister.
I knew it. Another lady emailed me last night and said she was happy I was doing a show on it, too.
Yeah.
So now we're going to talk with our friend Stephen Sharkey, who joined MRC in 2015 as a volunteer, and now he works there. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Now he's ruling the world.
So tell us about MRC.
The Marine Resources Council has been around for over 30 years. It really is a tremendous organization. It was founded by Florida Institute of Technology professors out of their concern over 30 years ago for the decline of the water quality, and here we are today. The mission is to protect, conserve, and advocate for the well-being of Florida's waters, primarily the Indian River Lagoon. We're really busy today. This is probably the busiest the organization has been There's a lot going on, especially with the half-cent sales tax, and just want to congratulate all the voters who did vote to save our lagoon. So everyone, Brevard County is doing a tremendous job and a lot of work to help protect and improve the water quality of the lagoon. The Marine Resources Council, we do a lot of research, we do a lot of education, we do a lot of events to connect with the community, because a lot of what we do is not sexy. It is science.
It's muck.
And it's research. And we have a lot of people doing a lot of work on the behalf of our coastal community. And we have a lot of support. And I would like to thank, first of all, Sita and the show. You've been a tremendous supporter of ours. And I remember meeting you at one of our brown bag lunches years ago. So thank you for your continued support.
Well, you've taught me a lot. And, you know, life is about an education, right? And so you've taught the Marine Resource Council have been on the show, and we've talked about the yard clippings, and we've talked about the muck, and we've talked about the tourism industry, and we've talked about the economy and the fertilizers, and we've learned so much and educated so many people. And one of our sponsors is Dixie Crossroads, and Laura Lee, she loves Laura Lee Thompson. Yeah, she just loves the Marine Resource Council as well. But one of the main things I learned was, in order to save our planet, we have to educate ourselves, and each and every one of us, we can do little things to change the planet. And you guys instill that in me. And so that's what we use the show. And we try to do that as well. So thank you.
Yeah, and that's what we do. Everyone, the problem, it's a very large scale problem. The lagoon is over 156 miles long from New Smyrna to Jupiter. And it is a huge issue that we're dealing with. But the entire globe is dealing with water issues. People move to Florida because of the environment, and it's a huge resource for us, the real estate, the tourism. And if, you know, we don't get really active right now and start having some really difficult discussions about how we are going to deal with our wastewater, managing our wastewater, managing our stormwater runoff.
And the septic tanks. Leaking septic tanks.
And how we develop, you know, the lagoon, it could get worse before it gets better.
Well, and I know we're unique. We can't be that unique, but I mean, like, the Chesapeake Bay group had come on, I believe, one of the last times when we were doing a show like this. And they said that they had a protocol of what worked for the Chesapeake Bay area, but I don't think it was as big as ours, correct? And even through the United States, like you said, there's plenty of states that are having water issues. You'd think that we would be able to come up with a protocol by now. That would be, you know, this is step one, this is step two, this is step three, and then hopefully all the legislation would, you know, rally behind it.
Yeah, there's been the Chesapeake Bay, I believe, they're coordinating between six states. So it's a huge effort going into, you know, improving the bay. Tampa Bay has had a tremendous effort to clean their water, and we actually just released the first ever comprehensive health analysis of the entire Indian River Lagoon that is known as the Indian River Lagoon Health Update. And we modeled it after report cards similar to Chesapeake Bay. And any coastal community that has initiated a health report such as this has rallied and introduced programming and legislation to help improve the water quality in their area. And what our report does is it takes 20 years of Florida state data, water management district data, and it shows you in a easy way the health of the lagoon based on the available science. So on a scale from 0 to 100, we were able to grade the health of the water of the entire Indian River Lagoon on a scale of 0 to 100, 100 being the best water quality possible. So it's just like you went to school, you got a 90, you're doing good, you got 100, you're a rock star. So that's the goal. So with this document, and this is the first time the public is going to have access to this information, we can now hold ourselves accountable as a community.
It was a mixed bag, right, the result? The result was, where did we stand?
Well, and just for those folks that are on Facebook right now, while Steve is looking through this real quick, I did just post the link to it. It's the first ever IRL health update, and it is on the Marine Resources Council website that you can download and actually see it for yourself.
Yeah, I saw it, and it is a mixed bag.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so mixed. It's pretty much bad across the board.
Mostly bad.
It's mostly bad.
Yeah.
And it's 20 years of data, so you can watch the decline of the health of our water over 20 years throughout the lagoon. It's graded in 10 different sections from Mosquito Lagoon North all the way down to the South IRL in Martin County. The numbers are devastating, I feel, as a local and a native who have, you know, there's not a lot of us. And I've watched the clear water turn to brown. I've watched, there were pods of dolphin, pods. You'd see 15, 20 dolphins jumping. You know, I remember driving in my mom's station wagon down US 1.
Right, and you would see them.
And
yeah,
you would see them. And now you're lucky to see two or three.
Yeah, when we lived in Tortoise Island on our backyard, we saw so many. And just before we sold our house, we were lucky if we saw one.
Right.
You know? But so Stephen, how do we nurse the lagoon back to health? Some people say that Florida needs to restore state funding for water quality. And but here's the thing, not all legislators in Tallahassee believes in global warming, not all believe in environmental concerns. How do we get people to care again, to refund to the lagoon?
Regardless of their beliefs, they can now look at this IRL health update, and they have state data showing the decline of the water quality of this estuary of national significance. The IRL estuary was once home to the most living organisms of any body of water in North America, and now we don't know that that is the case. But it is going to be potentially a political fight, because it is going to take a tremendous willpower of the voters, I feel, to start tackling some of these big issues, such as wastewater treatment, stormwater treatment, and development moving into the future in regards of protecting the water quality of Florida.
Right. And you know, when I just ran for office and for state rep in District 52, and there were so many questionnaires that we had to fill out about the lagoon, and so many people wanted to do things to help. And what I came away with, you know what, we can't fix things until we start educating ourselves, our families, and people around us, because each of us know that we can do something. I mean, we talked about the septic tanks, and they wanted to know, well, would you agree with legislation to replace the old septic tanks that were leaking? Well, yeah, we should. Those are things that are directly affecting the water quality and us as human beings. And we talked about the red tide, what's causing that. And I know one of the groups in town wanted to know if we would take some of the money from the tourism sales tax to help restore the Indian River Lagoon. And I said, well, you don't want to have a hotel room filled with people and then everybody wakes up to red eye. You have to look out for the lagoon. That should not be, that's a no-brainer. We live in Florida. That's a perpetual source of income for Hacienda Florida, right?
It's a tremendous resource for the East Coast of Florida, the tourism, the real estate, annualized revenues that are brought in. And, you know, whatever we can do across the board is, like you said, everyone can do something. And, you know, we can't be overwhelmed as individuals by the size of the issue. Because everyone has a footprint, and if everyone takes a bigger responsibility for what they do in their lives, you know, a lot of it spreads. Just like, you know, you doing something, you're here on the show promoting, advocating, educating, and that's how it spreads. And growing that network of people who are not going to tolerate this type of water quality will promote positive action to reverse the negative impact that we have had historically on the water quality of the lagoon. And we have a tremendous amount of programming for people to get involved with. We have 30 years of programs.
Right, and so that's what I think we probably need to talk about that, because the brown bag, and then we're going to talk about the big event coming up.
Right.
The brown bag lunch is a good one.
But I just want to throw in just one little statement about what you're saying, too. It's picking up your own yard waste when you're your dog. It's asking your lawn care professional what are they putting on your lawn so that way you're staying in compliance. The things that the Marine Resources Council has put together has
little
been really
make a big
it's
impact.
Been really
yeah.
yeah it's been really helpful, and I mean, and it was really easy for most of that stuff that I'd go through the list. I can do that, and did most of it.
It's amazing once you start.
I don't have a septic
changing
tank, so I
your
think
attitude.
That was what it was.
Once you start changing your attitude, even like when you go to a restaurant, you're not using right. straws anymore.
Right.
Some of us, I know, I try my best not to bring home styrofoam. Mm-hmm. My husband he loves the environment. That's what he does he loves his farm and all that. But he makes sure that we don't use too many items at home that you can't recycle.
Right.
He prefers to go to Publix and take his own bag. I mean, he does things that, and so it rubbed off on all the children and I as well. But so tell us a little bit about some of the upcoming events, and the one that we're interested in that April might actually dress up and she'll come with that oxygen tank if she has to for a margarita.
Well, Melbourne BMW, they have been tremendous supporters of ours for the last several years, and they actually helped fund the 2016 Lagoon Fest, which helped fund the IRL report, the health update that we were speaking about. So this is our third annual Margaritas for Mangroves benefit, hosted by Melbourne BMW off of US1 and Hibiscus. It's a great fun event. We are really excited. We have Dr. Katanese of Florida Institute of Technology and the all faculty band Twitchy will be performing.
Dr. Katanese.
That's
amazing.
Playing with his faculty band from FIT. So we're really excited to have him out. Their band is awesome. I've been trying to get involved with them and connect them to one of our events for the last 3 years. So it'll be, the music will be great. The date is
I wonder
December.
If we could dance.
Oh, you can dance.
Okay.
I've seen you dance.
Yeah, so I'm going to dance.
If you don't dance, we're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah.
But it's Friday, December 7th, 5:30 to 8:30. It's to raise awareness and funds for the Marine Resources Council's efforts to protect and conserve the water quality of the Indian River Lagoon. And we have a mangrove farm with over 7,000 mangroves in Sebastian, and we get about 100 of them, and we dress them up like Charlie Brown Christmas trees.
Yes.
We bring them down to the Melbourne BMW dealership, and we play tunes, and we invite some of our lagoon-loving local businesses to get involved. And what the event is all about is it's a celebration of the work that we have done, the work that we're doing, and the future work of saving our lagoon. And
so we're gonna have margaritas and we're gonna have delicious drinks. Well, what about food? Will there be food?
Oh yeah. So
because if I'm coming, I think I'll have to eat.
What we do is
food rules, right, Sita?
There
yeah.
is
food rules.
Tijuana Flats always have good food.
There's a margarita contest. We name the best margarita on the lagoon, and we invite local businesses to get involved, and they participate in the margarita contest. Attendees will get to sample a classic margarita and a flavored margarita from each attending business. So we have an arsenal of lagoon-loving businesses signed up to participate in this event. We have El Leoncito Vieira. We have the Nomad Cafe. We have Cuban Island Restaurant, the Melting Pot will be there, the Jungle Organic Restaurant, Chili's of Palm Bay will be there, Old School Pizza, and we have Paddling Paradise, A Better Copy, Michael A. Baker Cosmetic and General Dentistry will be there serving up margaritas. We also have the ladies at Great Faces Salon, and we also have Oyster Boss from the West Coast. They have the aquaculture oysters. They'll be serving oysters on a half shell at the event. So this event is loaded with fantastic food and beverages and
auction items.
Well, we're going to have a silent auction.
Great. I got my barrel there. And, you know, that barrel helped me to find a really good tenant for one of our houses.
That's right.
He came over to sign the lease, and he saw the barrel, and he says, oh, I would love to have a barrel like that. I said, you know what? I'm going to give you this barrel because you just signed a lease for X amount of years with one of our properties. And he actually uses it. He uses it to water the lawn and everything.
So our artists are some of our greatest supporters, and they paint countless rain barrels for us. So that's what she's talking about, is we have a huge rain barrel program. We give away hundreds of rain barrels a year. Our goal with the program is to reduce the amount of stormwater running down the streets and into the storm drains and getting into our lagoon. So with one 55-gallon rain barrel, you could potentially prevent over 50,000 gallons of polluted stormwater from running into the lagoon.
Say that again, because you know, I don't think people understand why the Marine Resource Council get people, artists, to donate those barrels. And here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510, WWBC and FM 94.7, FM 99.9 and FM 100.7. We're doing our best to educate our community. But somebody once asked me about those barrels, and I want you to repeat that because people don't understand the concept behind those barrels.
So rain barrels, what we try and do is we incorporate them into your gutter system or a valley of your roof, and it captures the rainwater. And you would be surprised, these 55-gallon rain barrels will catch and fill up in 2 minutes of a rainstorm. They'll fill up a 55-gallon rain barrel. And so what we try to do is capture that rain so that it doesn't run down your driveway, run down the street, and carry the sediments, the fertilizer, the pesticides, the oils from the road.
Yeah.
That rain, that stormwater, is what carries a lot of the pollutants into the lagoon. So what we try and do is capture as much of it as we can so that when it's done raining and your yard dries up, you can water your yard with it, and it gives the earth time to filter that water instead of it running down the street and producing.
I think I told Ellen back in the islands in Trinidad, that's what we did as children. We didn't have running water in every home, but people have those tanks. And I think you've been to the Caribbean where you've seen everyone has those great big black tanks that you collect rainwater to flush the toilets, to do your laundry and all that. And I think that's one of the reasons why the people in the islands don't have, even though we don't have the infrastructure that the United States have, we don't have a lot of the problems that we have here. Because it's just a natural thing that every house have a few rain barrels and a spout, or they have a few of those big black tanks.
They're really fun. Once you start using them, you can use them to wash, you know, your car, to water your plants, water your yard, you know, wash the dog. And it's one of my favorite programs. And the artists, they paint the barrels. They, you know, they paint everything, sea turtles, mermaids, you name it. And we feature them at all of our events. We auction them off, and they're a great fun for the crowd. And it's, you know, great PR. You put a beautiful mermaid rain barrel in the front of your house, your neighbor's gonna want to know what that barrel is,
right,
and what you're doing, and that's how we help spread the program.
And you guys are still looking for volunteers to join MRC, and you people can pay for membership and become a member as well, and all that's on your website.
Oh yes, yeah, savetheirl.org. If you need tickets for the BMW Margaritas for Mangroves event Friday,
woo-hoo,
December 7th.
Do you just scroll down? Because when you go on the website, a friend of mine tried to book one yesterday at work, and she says, hey, there's like all these sponsorships. So just ignore all of that and go to the bottom and just hit
It's actually the Margaritas for Mangroves holiday charity benefit for the lagoon is on the top right-hand side.
Is it easy to navigate
it's
the tickets?
Easy to
because
navigate.
My friend said she had a difficult time getting there. I'll have to tell her, go back and look again.
Yeah, once you get onto the ticket page, you just scroll down to the bottom.
Right, that's what I told her to do. Good.
Because, yeah, we do have a lot of sponsors that we thank, and that are there's a lot going on at the event.
Right, it's a busy little site right there, but it's good. So are you guys getting a lot of reservations? Are we doing good with it? Because we're going to try to push it on the show next week as well. When is it next week?
It's in two weeks.
So we'll talk about it on Monday. We'll put a plug in for it as well. And then we'll put it on the CETA Media site. And I'll post it on my Facebook with 4,000 friends.
Well,
and we'll
you,
try to help you, because I think it's such a good cause, because it's not enough to just talk about the Indian River Lagoon. At some time, we have to spring into action. And I think this is one of those times when the community can come together and dance and have fun and donate and join in the fun for helping the lagoon.
It's a great event because the volunteers, the member, and the local businesses that support our lagoon are there, and it's just a great time for everyone to come together and talk about what we've done, what we're doing, and you know, it's a lot of hard work, and every once in a while it's time for a margarita, you know, to celebrate.
There you go. Right, and so we have a few minutes left. We're talking with Stephen Sharkey from the Marine Resource Council.
And by the way, the tickets are only $35.
Yeah,
and for
bad.
The amount of fun
she's
that you're going to have.
You know, even if Mark doesn't come, I'm going to have to bring April.
5:30 to 8:30, and that's going to be at that Ted Moorhead.
Yeah, I'll pick you up if he's not home.
It's actually at the Melbourne BMW dealership. So it's a beautiful venue right on the lagoon.
Right, and we won't get lost. You know, us ladies, I swear, now that we're getting older, a lot of us have to be careful driving in the night.
Yes, we do.
You have to. So that location is perfect.
Well, it sounds like you might need an i8. It sounds like you need a new car.
I have it. I do. But you know what? It's just vanity. You know, you just want to drive. Like we were saying, we like wearing our sunglasses, but we won't wear them because we can't see as well. But anyway, so Stephen, if you had a couple of great ideas to give to people, and it'll remain in 1 minute left, what are some of the things you would tell them quickly to do as an individual to help the lagoon? The quick 1 minute spiel.
Be careful about the chemicals you use outside and inside. Just think anything that goes down any kind of drain has to go through a pipe into a water treatment center. And the less burden we put on our water treatment centers, the better. If you're going to wash your car, bring it to a car wash. Go to our website. It's a huge resource, savetheirl.org. Get involved. We need so many volunteers. We have great programs for the youth and seniors as well. Even if it's just coming to answering the phone for an hour or watering our mangroves, we need help with our mangrove program, our shoreline restoration program. We have muck a tears. We need, if you have a pontoon boat, you can join our muck mapping team, and there's a tremendous amount that you can do.
That's awesome.
Mucketeers.
Love
it.
That's right. So we will make sure that all this great information is posted on our website. Thank you so much for Paul and for April from the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. I couldn't get the second word out. And also for Steve from the Marine Resources Council. We've posted everything on our website as well as our Facebook page. Check out our Facebook Live, and we'll see you next week.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.